Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Hello, and welcome to our show again. I'm Lady Carolyn.
And I'm Elder Clayton Evans.
And we want to welcome you to Perfecting the Ordained Love Walk. Tonight our topic is Women Are Not from Venus. So before we get started, we're going to have some prayers so that we can decrease and God can increase in us. Amen.
Amen. Father God, we come before your throne, the Heavenly Father, this evening, as humble as we know how, Father God. Seeking a word from you, dear Heavenly Father, as the enemy has launched attacks on marriages, dear Heavenly Father. And we ask right now, dear Heavenly Father, that you help us, dear Heavenly Father, to help those, dear Heavenly Father, that need to understand, Father God, that the battle is not ours, it's yours, dear Heavenly Father. So we just pray right now, dear Heavenly Father, that those that are listening will have spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church tonight, Father God. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, for the sake we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And thank you so much for that. And again, our topic is Women Are Not from Venus. We will be discussing some personal issues related to how husbands and wives communicate feelings and how we all have to come to understand the language of love and speak that language in order to operate in love. Coming to acknowledge that the way we talk to our mates, our tone, our body language, and our words can either make the communication easier for our mates or cause them to shut down completely in response. So we are here in this world. We are not of this world. And we must realize that our conformity to the things of this world has caused our relationships to shatter as we alienate ourselves from each other, therefore making it impossible to operate in love. Amen?
Amen.
And we're coming out of Zephaniah tonight, coming out of the Message Bible, chapter 3, verse 9 through 13. And the topic of this scripture is God is in charge at the center. Amen? In the end, I will turn things around for the people. I'll give them a language undistorted, unpolluted, words to address God in worship and united to serve me with their shoulders to the wheel. They'll come from beyond the Ethiopian rivers. They'll come praying. All my shattered, exiled people will come home with offerings for worship. You'll no longer have to be ashamed of all those acts of rebellion. I have gotten rid of your arrogant leaders. No more pious strutting on my holy hill. I leave a core of people among you who are poor in spirit, what's left of Israel that's really Israel. They'll make their home in God. This core holy people will not do wrong. They won't lie, won't use words to flatter or seduce, content with who they are and where they are, unanxious, they'll live at peace. Amen.
Amen.
And that's the word of God.
For the people of God, thanks be unto God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I chose this topic tonight because God had been working with me on helping me to understand a lot of the mistakes that was made, you know, a lot of the, I would say, characteristics of women that have to be changed, especially in a marriage. But it's not just about the enemy attacking marriage. The enemy is attacking all relationships all over. And, you know, this threefold cord that we have to make sure that we keep it with God first. But not understanding that early in our relationship we went through a whole lot. And I was thinking about some of the things that I had to change and some of the things I had to learn because, like I was discussing earlier with my husband, there was a lot of things that we did wrong that, what you say, babe, sabotaged our marriage, you know. And also, you know, I was looking at how if we had known a lot of the stuff that we know now, it wouldn't have taken so long for us to come back together and have that desire to operate in love and to work on our marriage and to make sure that that was something that we did daily. Because back then, either you're going to work on your marriage or you're going to work with that spirit of separation. And back then, that's what we was doing, was working with that spirit of separation. And women are not from Venus. You know, Venus is the planet that they say is the planet of love.
Right. That's what they say.
That's what they say. But there's a lot of women all over the world who have a lot of issues that they come into relationship with those issues unidentified, unaddressed, and unresolved. And because we have those type of issues, when we come into a relationship with those type of issues and we don't communicate what our feelings really are or what our traumas are, our dilemmas, our thoughts, our real feelings, you know, we leave y'all with no choice. We don't give you the choice to be able to help us or to even be able to help yourself or help the marriage to grow in an area, you know, where we realize that we can communicate. Like I was telling you last night, I can tell you anything now. There was a time when that wasn't possible. The things that I would say out my mouth did not have anything to do with what was in my heart.
Right.
And learning how to communicate and be able to tell the truth about what I'm really feeling, you know, because there was a time when I said, I hate you, you know, I don't want you here, you know. I couldn't say I love you, I need you, I wish you would stay, you know. What is it that I'm doing wrong? Why don't you want me? You know, these were the things that was the underlying issues, you know, the insecurity, the low self-esteem, you know. But what came out my mouth was vile and vicious, you know, like you say, full of sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just learning how to become more peaceful in a relationship, you know, knowing that even if you're struggling in your marriage, like I was saying earlier to you, as long as there's breath, there's hope. As long as there's breath, there's hope. But we got to fan that desire. We got to make a decision what we're going to work on. If I say I love you, I need to work on that. I need to work on that. I need to work on that. Not work on trying to make you love me. I need to work on the fact that I love you. And figure out, like you were saying earlier, you know, what the show was about last night, what my position is as your wife. You know, how can I help meet those needs? What can I do to make things better, you know, instead of antagonizing you, you know, or what's the other word? We was talking about it before, when you lead people to rap. For sake of the word, I can't think of it right now. Provoking a person, you know, because we can say things, you know, we got to learn how to, even when we're disagreeing, we got to learn how to fight fair. You know, if I'm saying things to intentionally hurt you, you know, getting smart in my mouth, getting sarcastic, you know, one of the things that I learned along the way was that I had to learn how to try when you was trying. Because remember, we couldn't ever get it together and try at the same time, you know. It was like, when you try, I don't want to be bothered. I ain't got nothing to say to you. Don't come over here. I don't draw the line in the sand, you know, don't cross it. And then, you know, when I get tired of being by myself and I won't come and try, you know, baby, I'm sorry. You don't want to talk, you know. And of course you don't want to talk, you know. And we kept on missing the mark like that. But when one person is trying and you see that other person trying, regardless of how minute his try is or her try is, we need to try at the same time. Yeah, accept that olive branch. No matter what it is, accept it, because it's real important that we do something at the same time so that we can be one. You know, because if we operate differently at any time, then we're not one. And we can't operate in love that way. And a lot of the mess that is caused is kept that way because we don't try together, you know. Even listening, you know, when the other person is talking and expressing their feelings, even if it hurts, you to hear what they got to say, listen. Because it's important enough for them to express it. It ought to be important, just as important to me to hear it.
What we need is men on the other side just need to pray during those times, you know, to pray to be able to hear and to be able to feel your heart.
What if he can't?
I'm just saying that, you know, that's one of the ways to overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I think the thing that's missing is knowing that this is spiritual. It's not physical. It's not mental. It's not emotional. It's spiritual. And that's where the mind needs to be renewed.
Mm-hmm.
When we understand marriage is a spiritual institution, it's not physical. It's not emotional. It's spiritual.
Okay.
You become one flesh, but you become one spirit too, because that's where the love comes from, the true love comes from. It comes from your spirit, man.
Mm-hmm.
It don't come from your head. It don't even really come from your heart. It comes from your heart of hearts, your spirit. So for me, I have to say for me, that's how I learned to deal with my demons. I learned to deal with my issues, my selfishness, my stubbornness, my arrogance. I had to humble myself and pray and just ask God, after showing me, you know, what I needed to work on to be better for you, then I asked him to show me what I needed to see in you so I could be more attentive to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't just assume that, well, if I do this, you know, it's going to be all right, or if I do that, because I can miss the mark either way. You know what I'm saying? But he created you. He know you way better than I could ever think that I knew you. I couldn't even fathom in my mind. But once he starts showing me things, then it gradually began to change. And this is the approach you know, I suggested you take, and I really feel should be taken in order for those issues to be dealt with, you know, because a lot of times you can't see the forest for the tree.
Right.
You got to stand back and let God do the work. And if he's not in the center of it all, then we're doing it in our own humanity, in our own carnality, and we're just not, you know, equipped to really to do it, you know. 18 years of marriage, and I still was messing up. You know what I mean? You would think I would have an idea of what a marriage is about, but I still didn't have a clue. And that's why the first one failed. But even though I was making those mistakes in the beginning, in my heart of heart, I felt I was determined I wasn't going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it took for me to make it work, I was willing to do that.
Does it hurt when you believe that it is gonna fail?
Ooh, yeah, it did hurt, and I know that there were times where your heart was so hardened to me.
Okay.
And I will come to you and beg and plead, you know, I love you, please don't leave me, please don't go.
Mm-hmm.
And you would turn up the nasty on me, you know. Mm-hmm. It was just like, it hurt, you know. But I wasn't going to let it feel this. I knew I couldn't do it by myself because I couldn't make you, you know, feel what I was feeling at the time. Even if you could see the pain in my face and in my heart, you had got to that point where your heart was just hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't want to hear nothing I had to say. You would say things to lash out at me and hurt me, you know, belittle me, whatever it took. Whatever you had in your arsenal to throw at me, you threw at me.
Right.
You know, but I stood fast, though. I mean, it hurt. You know, sometimes I had to cry. But eventually, I just went down on my knees, and I just asked God, you know, he said, where I am weak, he's strong. So give me the strength to maintain the stand until he intervened and started doing the work that needed to be done. But it took a surrender for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I had to surrender to his will so he could put me back on the potter's wheel and start working with me all over again, you know. And then once I received his love, then I was able to start loving you, you know, showing you what you needed to see in me, the change in me that made you more to have me around, to let me stay, to allow me to come back.
Because I think that once the trust is broken, when for women, for me, I believe that when we fall hard for a man and we give our all, and that's the biggest trust that we have, saying that, okay, I want to be yours and I am yours, and I trust that you're going to take that into consideration and care enough not to hurt me. And when it comes to the point where, you know, we start spending less time together, you know, that's one of the things that I think that women in marriages miss the most when relationships start to go in the other direction. Time. You know, you can never make that time back up. You can't get it back, you know. And then you'll have a person that, you know, is telling you that, I remember one of your statements was, I come home. I'm at home, you know, and I'm like, and so is the furniture, you know, but I walk around that too, you know what I'm saying? You know, and it was sad, you know, and we need to understand that time and intimacy and communication is really important, especially when we're going through. We cannot give up on time, intimacy, and communication just because we're at odds or we disagreeing or things are not the way that we thought they was going to be, you know. If we keep those lines open, we have a better chance, because I know that once we close those lines of communication, you know, you can't talk to me, I don't want to talk to you, you know, and then when we made the decision, one wanted to talk and the other one didn't, you know, or one's a runner, you know, because, you know, you was Mr. Get Up and Get Out of Here, you know, and if you wasn't getting up and getting out of here, you were closing doors, you know. And when you lock a person out like that, after a while it gets to the point where, you know, we feel like we're in that hopeless dilemma. And hurt people do hurt people, you know. And women, we're so, I don't even know if this is a word, retaliative, you know. But we do tit for tat. You know, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. The only thing about it that you hurt me, but I'm going to try to develop and find a way to kill you, you know, in some form or fashion, because I got to hurt you, and I got to hurt you where I feel like it's enough for you to understand how bad you hurt me, you know. And we got to look at how do we do that in a relationship to cause that kind of pain, because that's what keeps the vicious cycle going around. Somebody has to stop, because it only stops when we stop. If we don't never stop it, then it's just a vicious cycle that keeps going.
There was no fruits of the Spirit.
No fruits of the Spirit at all. No self-control.
Definitely more out of control than anything.
Right.
You know, and it's really sad, because it's such a destructive place to be in a relationship.
It is.
You know, call the police, tearing up the house.
Mm-hmm.
All night, up all night, not getting no
up
sleep.
Up all night. Saying the same thing over and over.
Having to get up and go to work, you know, all this stuff. The sun that came up, ain't nobody made, you know, amends, ain't nobody apologized, you know, and it just rolls over to the next day.
Yeah, because we let the sun go down on our anger.
Mm-hmm. You know, these things are in the Bible for a reason.
That's right.
You know, and it affects your health along with your, you know, with your relationship. You,
mm-hmm.
You're definitely out of position.
Right.
Because no one is trying to be the peacemaker.
Exactly,
you know?
Which is actually the wise job. We really, and that's when God put me in my position, he made me the peacemaker. And that was real hard for me, you know, because when I got the revelation, you didn't get it, you know. So I still had to walk through some stuff with you because you were still going through a whole different process. But being able to understand the word of God and understand the obedience that I had to put forth to be in his will, I had to allow you to talk to me crazy, you know, look at me crazy. I had to still see you walk out the door, you know, make your own decisions, you know, without consulting me, treating me like I was a stranger in my own home, you know, walking around me, you know, puffed up, you know. And I still had to find it in my heart to be cordial, to be kind, you know, to look over things. I remember one night you came in the house, you came home from work, you went straight back there, you started ironing. I came that way to notice that you was ironing. I didn't say anything. You strutted around the house, you got your little grip together, you know, got yourself together. You were obviously going to hit the street, you know, you and my brother-in-law. And, you know, you smell good, you look good. You know, and my heart was, like, dying on the inside. I wanted to say something, but I didn't want to create anything, you know. And you went, you left, you know. And I just got on my knees, and I prayed, and I asked God to keep you safe. Because there were so many times that you had walked out that door that I had been so angry with you that I had never prayed for your safety, even though you're doing back then, you know, you was drinking. You know, and even though you were drinking and driving, I had never prayed for your safety, you know. I had always just been so angry with you that you could do that, and I couldn't, you know. And that night when I prayed for your safety, I asked God to bring you back. And do you know that particular night, you did not stay out long? I don't know what went on or what happened, but you was not gone very long, you know, and that just seeing that happen for me in my life, because I believe God did that for me, gave me some more hope, you know, and being able to continue in prayer, because like you were saying earlier, you know, and the thing that I asked you about, what if a person couldn't do that? Because, you know, in the Bible it talks about us covering the unbeliever, because in marriages you can have one that don't believe. You can have someone that don't know how to pray, or you can have the backslider, you know. And we got to be able to cover them and understand that they can't do the things that we can do. So we need to be able to do it. We need to be the ones, you know, as the peacemakers in the home, as the helpmeet, as the wife. We need to be able to cover our husbands, you know, and watch the process. Watch God work the process out and not being the one to feel like I need to fix it because I can't. Too big for me. You got to go right back to your manufacturer.
I know that.
You know, send the defects back to him.
That's what so many women are deceived, you know, because they feel like I can fix him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of women like that.
Right.
I can fix him.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I can get this joke right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, first of all, you got breath and britches. You know what I'm saying? You know, you don't have a man. You
okay.
Got breath and britches, and just to say you got something.
Okay.
You know, and like we was talking about them zeros, you know, unless you put a one in front of it, it has no value.
Zero.
You know, it's not going to really help you, or you're not really going to benefit from it, you know, until you put something with it to make it worth
right.
Something.
Yeah,
give it some
God.
Value.
Mm-hmm.
And that's God.
You know, that's God of the name, something.
So we, you know, we got to the point in our relationship where we did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we put God in the center of all.
Right.
You know, and through that, then the fruits begin to start showing up
mm-hmm.
in our life, you know. And
slowly but surely. And consistency is the key. You've
got
to keep doing it. You know, like I said, you know, we decided on a date night, and I tell you, we struggled making that a date night, making that appointment, but we kept that appointment, and we kept that appointment, even though, you know, there were times when I come to you and I said, come on, let's go. And you know, I ain't going tonight. Oh, yes, you are. You going. And you get in the car mad, I'm mad. You know, we'll drive all the way down there and pick up the pool sticks, you know, and play the whole 3-4-5 game, not even speaking, you know, until it just happened for us. You know, we don't even know when damn time it was, but it happened for us and we had to speak. Something was funny. We laughed together, you know, and we started getting closer. And, you know, the consistency of walking in love means that I got to keep putting one foot forward and stop looking back. Because as long as we kept on relating back to the stuff that had happened, that's the stuff that kept happening. So when we bring it up, we're the one that's bringing it in. And we got to stop doing that, because if God can forgive us, then we need to be able to forgive each other. And if he can throw it in the sea of forgiveness, we need to be able to do the same thing. A lot of things that we've been talking about on these shows, we haven't talked about since we got better.
Yeah,
you know, we forgave each other for so much stuff. You know, these are intimate conversations that we have not been having about what we've been going through, because we have not been bringing this up and rehashing this and holding each other accountable, you know, for it and pulling up those feelings. You know, we haven't been doing that. I think that was one of the things that really helped us to heal to where now we can talk about it, because it's a testimony now. It's not an argument.
Right.
You know, it's not strife, you know. And
it's
not a mess, you know, because God delivered us, and we're grateful for that. But, you know, in helping other people in their relationships, I just want to say that if you love the person that you're with, operate in that love. Don't operate in the mess that came. Don't operate in what you see. Don't operate in what you hear. You know, don't operate in feelings. Operate in love. God is love. And he has so much information for us in the Bible.
Stay in his word.
Stay in his word.
The word is the ultimate authority on
everything
we do. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we stay anchored in that, you know, even our emotions, what we think, what we want, what we think we want,
mm-hmm.
what we feel, you know. God's word answered. And through that, we'll get the peace, the joy, the
love.
The love,
the
patience,
mm-hmm.
the long suffering, it'll all come together.
That's it.
You know?
And do that study on 1 Corinthians 13. Do that study. Start looking at that and find out everything that love is and everything that love is not.
That's right.
And that will help you so much.
Yeah,
well, we hope that somebody somewhere got something out of this. I really enjoyed talking with you again. I want to thank you. Tell you that I love you and ask you to pray us out.
First Corinthians 13 is a roadmap back to your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Father God, we thank you so much for this privilege and opportunity to be used in your service, Father God. We pray that someone was touched by what was said tonight, dear Heavenly Father. Or a future listener, dear Heavenly Father, will come to know you, dear Heavenly Father, and how much you love us, Father God.
Yes.
So in turn, that we receive that love so we can love one another. Pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Father God, for you are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And thank you for joining us, and we hope that you'll join us again. And we just like to say that no matter what the situation is, the circumstance, or the problem, just remember that the lesson is always love. Amen.
I know that you think you can pray after that mistake, but I.